Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Hi, I'm Paul Listick, and welcome to Behind the Curtain. We got magic to do. Welcome to the podcast, everybody. And I think magic is the right word to call this because we're in a really interesting and fascinating part of the entertainment world with my guest today. You'll see what I mean in just a moment as you meet him, but I attended his show. He's a mind reader. That's what he is. And essentially, the show is called Mind Reader. And maybe he'll share with us exactly how he does what he does. And then we'll put him out of business. No, we don't want to do that. But what he does is absolutely fascinating. His name is Mark Toland, and you can see him on Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock. Now, that's the only time, Wednesday nights, 8 o'clock, over at the Greenhouse Theater Center. It's on Lincoln Avenue in Lincoln Park. It's actually the old Victory Gardens Theater, for those of you that remember that. And it's also very close by the current Victory Gardens Theater. But you're in the neighborhood of Fullerton and Lincoln over there, the Greenhouse Theater Center, 2257 North Lincoln. Let's get to it and talk to him. He knows I'm going to say hello because he's a mind reader. Hey, Mark Toland, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for having me on.
You got it. So I attended your show. I think I was there opening night, but you knew that. No, I'm kidding. And so it just, look, I'm not stupid. So I'm sitting there going, I'm going to figure this out. You know, I'm going to see what he does and I'll know what he's doing. And, I have guesses here and there, but I can't figure it out. So how did you come up with, because you're not a magician per se, but You level with the audience and you say, I'm not really reading your mind. What's the gig?
Right. I think it's definitely in the same world of magic, but I think of it as magic with words and ideas rather than with props, right? So it's psychological illusions, less about manipulation of objects. And so what that allows me to do is work with people, like you saw at the show on opening night. And so I'm just trying to create some kind of mystery that exists in your mind, hopefully a while after the performance ends. And as far as that, I'm just limited to two skills, which is taking a thought out of your mind or putting a thought in. And yeah, I'm not psychic, so it's all clever psychological tricks and whatnot, but it hopefully feels real. It hopefully feels amazing. I just don't want the weight of claiming psychic abilities or something like that. So that's why I level with the audience. But hopefully it paints a good mystery in your mind long after.
Well, it did. It blew me away, and I thought it was incredible. And, you know, there are some other folks out there who do what you do, and I might be wrong about this, but I think you may be one of the only people who actually admits, look, yes, this is a trick, okay? I'm not really reading your mind. I think a lot of them prefer that we think they're really reading our minds. Is this, I mean, I just kind of wonder, is there like a piece of ethics to you which says, no, I really got to level with my audience?
What better place to be honest than on stage, right? So I get to tell the audience exactly what I do and still bamboozle them, which I think is really interesting. I look at it way less than trying to, you know, I'm not interested in trying to convince them of supernatural abilities. What I am interested in is mystery, because I think everyone has, we have all the answers, or at least, you know, access to that information, and no longer do you wonder about something. So, you know, if you're wondering about lyrics to a song, you can find that in seconds, or the answer to a question or a trivia, you know, nugget or something. So I think my opportunity is not in claiming, like some of those people you mentioned, that I can really read minds or speak to the dead or any of those things, but rather in giving people a mystery, which is a really exciting thing in 2018 when you know most answers, and to come in not knowing what to expect and leave with no idea is kind of a gift, hopefully. And so that is, to me, is a much more interesting stance, and why I kind of come clean and don't do, the in my mind, the more charlatan approach, which has been disproved, and kind of just approach it strictly from an entertainment slash artistic standpoint.
Well, let's talk about some of the things you do. Then I'll go back to the how is it done kind of question, which I know you get asked all the time.
Sure.
And you're not going to answer. But I have an interesting way to approach it, so we'll see. But let's talk about some of the things you do. When people first entered, like myself, we all filled out a word, and we put it into a bowl, and that kind of reared its head again at the end of the show in terms of all that. But so when we did that, is there anything going on in that put your word in the bowl thing that you're working with us, you're reading with us, you're gathering information, or is there nothing more to that than no, you're actually just putting a word in the bowl?
Well, I think there's a lot going on. First off, I want the show to be different, so that's why I greet everyone when they come in. You know, I'm not backstage because I think of the audience kind of as the cast. So the second you get that, I want to say hello, I want to greet everyone, and then also I want people to participate straight away. So I want them to know this is a different sort of show. Like, we're not just, you know, on the other side of the fourth wall. You're pretty much up on stage with me the whole night. And so from the get-go, that's important for me to establish that before, you know, I really even take the stage. As far as what's going on there, I think there's a lot going on. It's how I'm instructing people. There's also a little sign next to that as you come in with some instructions. And many people read it, and there's some subtle things on the sign, which changes week to week because it's never the same word or you know, ending to the show without spoiling anything. And then there's also underlying music and all sorts of things that I am using as people come in to kind of set the tone and make sure things are kind of stacked in my favor. So, yeah, there's a lot happening before the show even begins, which is kind of, it keeps me on my toes. It makes it different for me, but it's also exciting because the audience they're not even aware of it. And then the show begins, and then later they realize, oh, man, you know, 20 minutes before he took the stage, things were already happening. So,
yeah,
it's kind of a little more interesting than your typical stage play or something.
So the night I'm there, you, of course, you're always, I mean, without the audience, you got nothing to do. So, I mean, you need us,
exactly.
And you rely on us the entire show. As you just said, we are the cast. I hadn't thought of it that way, but you're right. So that triggered this question in my head. Do you ever have a night where the audience really sucks? And, I mean, you like, they don't play, they don't whatever. And if you have, what do you do?
Sometimes the audience is not quite as fully formed. So the show is kind of geared to ramp into the more maybe perhaps impressive or at least more personal kind of revelations and things. And it's kind of designed with that in mind in hopes of, you know, maybe turning skeptics into friendlier audience members and turning people who are a little more shy into more responsive. But, you know, I've also learned over time that not every audience is going to be loud and not every audience is going to give you a standing ovation, and that shouldn't be your barometer for a performance. So I'll do the same show two nights back to back. In fact, I was in Indianapolis last night and the night before, earlier this week I was in Orlando prior to the Wednesday night show this week, and I had a standing ovation at one and not at the other, same size group, pretty much same demographic and same show. And it just, the room and the feel of the crowd wasn't set up. One was kind of groups of people and one was one big group. So I think one was like an audience and one was like couples who were enjoying and really liked it. And the interesting thing was standing ovation was great. None of those people approached me. The other show, not a standing ovation, but everyone wanted to talk afterwards.
Ah.
So a quieter audience or maybe an audience that reacts internally, I've just kind of learned over the years that that's how this particular audience has chosen to enjoy it. And since they are the cast that given night, that's kind of going to make the show a little softer, a little quieter, but also maybe it will resonate on a deeper level because they're kind of appreciating it cerebrally instead of like outwardly. And so, you know, it makes for some interesting moments. Yeah, it's a really weird art form because there's a push and pull with the audience that I'm kind of, you know, I give them the reins half the time and take it back. And depending on where they want to go, it kind of dictates where I take them in a way.
Yeah, and I don't think, I'm not aware of any other sort of on a weekly basis where people could come and have this experience in terms of a mentalism show. I think you're it in the city, which is great. And as you say, not only is the audience your cast, but, you know, things that we have with us become your props. Our thoughts become your props. All of that is critical for you. So I have to go back to the beginning. I'm guessing when you were a little kid, you didn't say, I want to be a mind reader. Or did you like watch people like Kreskin or something like that and get fascinated and say, I want to do that? Did you start off as an entertainer in other ways?
So I wasn't aware of Kreskin or actual other mind readers until maybe my teenage years. But when I was about 4 or 5, I got a magic book, and that's how I got hooked on sleight of hand and maybe the art of illusion. So for years, since that moment, I'm 32 this fall. So since that moment, for years, I've been convinced I was a magician up until my college years, and then came out of college more a mentalist. But recently, I was going through some old things in a box, and I came across my first business card, and it was a school photo taped to an index card that I had crudely made, because I was convinced that's what I needed. And then on the back side of it, I had written magician and mentalist, and I was 7 years old. So I guess I knew back then that I was drawn to this and was pushing in that direction. Even then, even though I had kind of forgotten about that in my mind, I guess. So yeah, over the years, I refined more and more into magic of the mind instead of, more illusion-based magic.
And by the way,
I guess it's always been what I enjoy.
Which is unusual and really cool. So I know, I've had people who are impressionists on the podcast, and one time I had Rich Little on, and other folks who were impressionists said, well, my God, you just brought on the master of them all, and I had some of them join the conversation because, the opportunity of talking to Rich Little if you're an impressionist is like, mm-hmm. really incredible. So my question is, I'm going to go back to Kreskin for a minute, but when you did become familiar with Kreskin and stuff, it's essentially because I, as a kid, I could never figure him out too, and I always thought he was real. Do you watch and I'm assuming you would agree that Kreskin is the master of this from a, over time perspective, do you look at him and say, hey, I know what he's doing, I know how this happens?
Yeah, that's the, I guess, the sad thing about, diving into the mystery arts, I guess, is you want to know how, so you go and you research and you study and you practice and you learn, but then you kind of ruin the mystery for yourself. So over time, you kind of perhaps become jaded or cynical about the whole thing, because what you had appreciated is no longer there for you, and so over time you realize, oh, my job is to give that to other people. And then I think there's a moment for most magicians, at least, where you hit the point where if you do happen to see something that you don't understand and you can't figure out, you just don't want to know anymore, because that is so few and far between. So yeah, I see things and I know it most of the time, but occasionally when I don't, I want to walk away, and I don't want the curtain pulled away for myself, even, because it's such a great feeling having, spent the better part of 2 decades working on it. The fact that I can get, I can still experience the feeling of wonder every once in a while. It's pretty special.
When I was a kid, I mean, I was fascinated by magic, and so you'd go to magic stores or something, and you'd see the magician do a trick, like the hide the ball thing, or, I have one ball, now I have five, those kind of really standard,
right.
Basic. Yeah. And of course, I would buy them because I I want to be able to be a magician. And then when I learned how it was done, I was incredibly disappointed because I'm like, that's it? So I'm curious. So I'm not going to ask you to tell me how you do what you do, because I wouldn't expect you to. But let me ask you this. If I knew how you were doing what you're doing, would I be able to do it and go, well, that's easy, I just couldn't see it? Or is it pretty complex where I couldn't probably do it?
There's probably a mixture of both. Usually what I tell people after, maybe some of my private gigs I do when I get approached the most about that is that, yeah, you could absolutely do it with 25 years of practice or something like that. Because, a lot of people spend that long working to become an attorney or an accountant or a doctor or something. And I just happens that I poured all of my, I was a theater major in school and a writer and improviser and actor, but I really went to school to work on this because I kind of knew going in I wanted to pursue this as a career. So I've been doing this long before I went to college, and now, post-college, and studying it religiously. So, yeah, there are simple things and methods, but there's also really complicated things, and the best way... I guess the best way to be successful at this is to layer all of that together and combine things and always be, about 10 steps ahead of your audience.
Yeah.
And so with that in mind, it does become very complex, and it does become very, difficult to create and work on and practice. And I don't know. Sure, if we were in person, I could show you a couple of simple things that you could go home and amaze with, but the stuff in the show is things I've been working on for 12, 15 years,
Yeah, well, I don't have 12 or 15 years to learn it, so I want to know right now, Mark, how you do it. Save me some time. Hey, so one of the things...
I don't have those answers.
All right. So you call on people on, as I said, it's really critical. But you know what? This is going to be really mean. Can I be mean for a second? Not mean to you.
Sure.
Mean to the audience.
Yeah, yeah.
So the night that I saw you, and I'm sure you're going to remember this, there was a person in the audience who you called on. You asked this person to think of a word, and it's a routine you do where you say think of a word and then think of another word and think of a third word, and it was the third word you wanted to go after, right? So you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, this is a target word idea where I have a word in mind that I'm trying to mentally transmit to someone. About two-thirds of the way through the show. Yeah, I remember this well.
So the night that I was there, the person, I'm not even saying a sex, the person could not come up with a word. And I was waiting for you to just go, you know what, I'm moving on to somebody else. You didn't. You actually hung with this person, and it eventually worked. But I'm curious, what was in your – this is what I really wanted to ask you that night. What was in your mind? Are you thinking to yourself, oh, my goodness, get with it, or does that happen?
That happens sometimes. I mean, I have to remember that not everyone goes on stage and not everyone wants to participate, but I'm looking for people that I think will be receptive to volunteering and receptive to my methods, and also people who are friendly, maybe perhaps dress nice if I'm at an event and people are taking pictures. You know, there's a lot of factors that I put into play to choose the right person. And so, you know, I'm in my head, and early on, I think I did this, especially as a college student when I was doing a lot of, you know, private parties and stuff, the instinct is to be sarcastic or dismissive of the person. But I think over the years I've learned that it's the opposite. You know, they're trying to help. It's not this person's fault that they can't do something. I'm putting them on the spot. And I think even for that particular moment in the show, that's actually very fascinating, because the point of all that is that I try to put her on the spot, a little pressure, and then she ends up guessing my word or getting very close. So, yeah, I mean, that's been a hard a thing to understand, I think, from working with people as, you know, strangers as your cast, is that everyone kind of reacts different and participates differently. So, yeah, just a little patience, a little encouragement, and hopefully, you know, she didn't feel horrible about the experience. In fact, I think she was very amazed when we finally got there. But, yeah, those things, that's live theater, particularly.
No, she wasn't.
Because you really don't know.
Yeah, and the husband would ever, well, we just said her gender, right? But anyway, so the husband, everybody seemed to kind of get a kick out of it and enjoy it. So it wasn't better. But it also suggests to me you were very respectful of everybody in the audience. So I should encourage listeners, it's like, don't worry about showing up. Yes, he's going to call on you, but don't worry about it. You're going to be treated with respect. But it also makes me wonder, so it's really not possible for you or somebody who does what you do. It's really tough to be a Don Rickles kind of character, right? If you were calling on people and insulting them, and nobody did it better than Rickles in terms of being able to get laughs out of direct insults, but that probably would be tough because you need us.
Sure. Yeah, there's a very fine line, because I am relying on the audience to make the show, and I don't want them to turn against me. But I also do ad lib with people, and if they're being, you know, if they're pushing back a little bit or slightly, I don't really get heckled, but if someone is calling something out to be funny, then I will push back, you know, because that is very much my onstage personality. So the way I explain it to performer friends is that there's a joke early on in the show that I make at someone's expense, but I try to look at the audience beforehand and know who this person is going to be. And I'm looking for someone who seems comfortable in their own skin. And then when I make the joke, I scan the whole audience and look at everyone laughing, and I look back at the person and give them a wink just to make sure they know they're still on my team.
Right.
And so if I get through that joke and the guy, it's always a man for this too, so if the guy laughs at this joke, then I know we're probably going to have a good show because he's a good sport. If not, I pick the wrong person, and I usually have to go back to him later and say, hey, thanks for being a good sport. Let's try something else and win him over. But that's what I had to learn, is like, where's the line? And it's kind of different with each audience, but where's the line that I can still have fun with them without offending, because I'm relying on them to, you know, tell me I got their thought right, or react and applaud, or want to come on stage. And the last thing I want is to be so crude or mean or something that no one wants to help out, and then we just have an awful show. So I much prefer when everyone's on my side.
So you're doing college events, young people, but you're also doing corporate events, which probably skews to an older crowd. Is there a person, an audience member who's like better? And I'm trying to, I don't want to make it age centric, but I mean, do you sort of look and just go, you know, professionals, young professionals, whatever, that's a great audience, or folks who are retired or whatever, that's a great audience? Or does any of that matter?
I'm not sure if it does matter. I think everyone really likes this because mentalism is so personal. And something I've realized recently is I do a lot of kind of walk around private parties, especially in Chicago. So instead of the show, I'll be on like a rooftop during a cocktail party, and I'll just go up to groups of four or five people over and over. And a couple years ago, I was doing so many of these, and I'd do a group, and there'd be a guy with arms folded in the group, and I just thought it was the cynic. It was like, you know, in my head, I thought he was like the alpha male. He figured everything out, and he was just not into it. But what I realized is that he just didn't buy it because I didn't do it for him. So the second I started including everyone, that facade melted away. And so it's the same in the show with any audience. As long as you pick the right people and you try, that's why I try to involve people as soon as you walk in at the weekly show or at corporate events. I have a bunch of kind of almost like team building esque things. You do keynotes, right, Paul?
So oh, absolutely. As you're saying this, I was thinking to myself, let me even take the keynotes out. I mean, I do television. So when I have a guest with me, sure, I can get away with doing the funny, sarcastic, give them a wink, they know I'm kidding kind of a thing. But if I have a guest who's on by phone for some reason, I have to be a little different because they're not getting the visual cues. And I was thinking about that when you were talking about having to kind of maintain that relationship with somebody with a wink, with a smile, to let them know you're with, you know, that you're with them. You need to see them to do that.
Sure, it's exactly the same. And so that's why I think, like, college to corporate to, I mean, the weekly show is a good mix because we get some people from, like, DePaul, I think. We get some people from the suburbs. And then we get some people from the city who go see a lot of theater. So it's a good mix of people, and it's still successful, too. I think college kids are louder. Corporate are a little harder to, you got to chip away at the ice a little bit with corporate sometimes because they've been in meetings all day or something, you know, and they're tired. But I really like doing mentalism. I'm really drawn to it because of that personalization. And so when you see that facade of a whole audience melt away because they are invested in it, it's worth doing, and you know, regardless of the audience, I guess.
So for me, you asked me, you brought me up, and you asked me to think of a place that I've never been and wanted to go. And to be honest with you, I didn't really think of a place I did think of a place I've never been, but I tried to pick, I mean, there's lots of places I want to go. So I wanted to avoid things like Paris and London, and but I've been to those places, but I thought, no, that's what you're going to think. Part of my mission, and I'll bet you a lot of people do this, was actually trying to come up with an answer I didn't think you could come up with. And I'm sure you know people are doing that, right? We're not even being honest, we're trying to come up with something that you can't figure out.
Sure.
Why not? So I came up with saying the place that I wanted to
scenario.
Go to, what's that?
It's a challenge scenario that I get a lot, you know?
Yeah, that's right. So I was guilty of it, too.
Yeah.
So I thought of Mumbai. That was my answer. I don't really care if I ever go to Mumbai or not. I suppose I will one day, whatever. But I thought, he's not going to come up with that. But you did. And so I tried to figure out, because I did write it down, okay, there's magic pencils, there's magic paper, there's magic envelopes. I can't figure out how they're magical, but I'm figuring something like that. Except when we started, you also started by identifying my birthday and sign. And again, I know you can't sort of feed into this, but I thought, there's no way, there's nothing magical that I've done. When I say magical, I didn't write it down. I didn't do anything where however I wanted to decide you have access to it, you would have access to it. You just did it. So I'm curious whether with some of your things, is there any element of, we'll see if you can answer this, Elliot, any element of guessing? And what I mean by that is where you might say something like, you know, the odds are more people are Gemini than are going to be Sagittarius. I mean, is there any kind of that factor that comes into play? Although you gave, now you were wrong about my actual birthday. You were really close. You had to, you gave me I'm the 19th of June and you said 16th, but then you turned around, it was 19. I actually took that as a trick. I thought, well, you actually meant to do that. Maybe you did. I don't know. But is there any aspect of it in which there is the guessing game going on, but it's educated guessing and you're just good at it?
Yeah, I think for the benefit of the listeners, I should point out that I guess other people's birthdays throughout. I know I'm on your show now and you're a public figure, but like I don't research people in advance, and if I were listening to this, I would think that. So that has nothing to do with it. There's no way. I do other people's birthdays.
Oh, and you did that night, too. You gave signs and birthdays. Absolutely. Good point.
Right.
People you had
so
no
I,
idea.
You, including you, and I call you up and I get yours. And then, you know, yeah, I write. People write stuff down or think of things in some way for verification. There's a lot of different things that go into this. But, for instance, for years, I think you... It was in an envelope, and someone else is holding it for proof, and then hopefully I guess and get your city. A little backstory for listeners, but the statistical thing you said, I think that is most applicable to this is actually the challenge scenario, which is the people who want to try to trip me up or want to, you know, are trying to think of something so vague or something a little more on the fringe just to see if I can get it, are almost easier to read, right? Statistically, they're going to go for the hardest thing, which is very limited, right? So if it's a sports team, it's going to be a sports team that no one would think of. If it's a place, it's going to be a little bit more exotic and harder, like Mumbai or something like that, than Paris or London, or maybe, you know, the 25, 50 common cities that people would say. So I think that is a statistical thing that is applicable here. Now, whereas Gemini's and all that is statistical, I don't think so. I think that is, you know, I don't buy into horoscopes at all, and I have a little short monologue in the show about that. But I think it would be unfair of me to spoil that right now and take a side. I kind of like to let the audience kind of linger on the middle of the fence there and wonder a little bit. But it is there's definitely statistical stuff and definitely psychological tricks that go into all of it. Where they meet and where they overlap each other, I can't really answer.
Oh, that's fair. That's fair. And look, my job is to ask the question, right? You get to answer it how you choose to.
Sure, it's a great question.
I'm good with that. Yeah. And so again, so people who are listening, I mean, the things that you kind of do, and I'm not saying anything because there are some things you do. I'm thinking of something you do with somebody else's phone at the end of the show, but I'm not going to even say what that is because I think, assuming you do that particular thing every night, people should enjoy that. So I'm not.
Yeah, we shouldn't spoil that.
No, I'm not going to do that. Yeah. And so, but I think people should know that, you know, you'll pick people out, you'll guess birthdays, you'll guess signs, you'll guess places they've been, you'll guess what they do for a living, you know, just all of these different things. And again, I think most people are just, how did he come up with that? I think it's just sort of an amazing thing. And you know what? The whole idea about magic, and if we can just put it in the category of magic, isn't that the point? Isn't the point that we should just, as audience members, be amazed, stop worrying about how it's done, just plain enjoy it and be thankful that somebody like you knows how to do it, so we get to have fun.
Exactly. I think that is you summed it up very well. That is the show in a nutshell, is I don't believe in psychic. I'm not psychic, but I'm also not going to tell you how this works. So you kind of just have to leave here with a mystery and be happy not knowing. And I think that is, like I said, kind of towards the top, I think that's a really great feeling. And I try to hold on to that when I have it, and that's what I'm trying to give a room full of strangers every Wednesday.
And you also, by the way, assuming you do this every night, you're around as people leave. So you don't, you know, you're as you said, you're not backstage being introduced and we haven't seen you. You're out there saying hi to us when we come in. You're also out there when we leave. So being audience friendly and being sort of accessible to everybody, is that part of what you have to do or is that part of who you are?
That, I think that's just me. I'm from a small town in the Midwest, so I'm just I've been that way for years. I used to do, when I was just figuring out my, you know, getting my feet on a stage and really putting a show together, I would do shows back in my hometown, and we'd get 60, 70 people out, which was big numbers for the town. And I would have to set up the whole stage, you know, all the chairs in place, greet people as they came in, and lock the door up at the end of the night. So I'm just used to doing that. But I also have intentionally kind of designed the show that way because I want to be welcoming and but in control so that the audience is like, oh, this guy's going to take care of us. But also, what a friendly guy. And he's not a creepy mind reader. He's not, you know, there's no weird stuff going on here. It's more friendly and more fun. And I think it piques their curiosity when they walk in for me to say hello. And then I'm also there to answer questions as long as people want after, which is nice because there are always questions. So yeah, that's me, but it's also by design, and I really like being able to do that. I much prefer it to some other shows I do where I do have to just go off stage and don't get to see anyone because it's just more fun to thank people for coming and
sure.
Hear what they thought.
And yeah. The nature of the beast sometimes. And by the way, you just said something I think it is important to say. Some people might say, oh, I'm afraid he might read something about me. I don't want people to know. You will never embarrass anybody. You never have somebody stand up and say, well, I see you're cheating on your wife. I mean, nothing like that is ever going on.
No, no. And I get clients, you know, I do corporate events nationwide. So clients will say, you know, so-and-so just had a tragic thing happened to them in their family or something. Please, if you get anything of that, don't reveal it. It's like, why would I do that if I did?
Right.
Number one. Number two, I'm not psychic. And number three, I'm a professional. I'm not going to do that. So the same with the show. The show is comedy. I mean, 90% of the show is comedy. So there's no way I'm going to bring the mood down by doing that. And it's not that sort of thing where someone passes me, bumps into me, and suddenly I get a flash of inspiration about their life. That's not how this works. I'm not a medium. So it is just fun and games. Do I want it to be amazing and shocking? Sure. Do I get a little more personal? Sure. But it's only fun things like the city for you. I guess like a name of a friend of someone, you know, and like special memories and things. But I always go for the lighthearted over the
absolutely.
Top.
Yeah, I was thinking that the night I was there, you were able to come up with people's first loves when they were young. I mean, it's all fun stuff. Although I was just thinking, let's do a hidden camera version where we pick somebody up and we say, I see you're embezzling from your company. This could be fun, Mark. I got a whole idea here.
There is reality TV gold in that. Sure.
Exactly. We're Dateline 2018. No. Well, I got to tell you, your show was so much fun, so great, and so convenient. I mean, if people live in the city, the Greenhouse Theater is so easy to get to over at 2257 North Lincoln Avenue. It's called Mind Reader. To find you, we go to greenhousetheater.org, right? That's one way to get tickets. And tickets are just 20.
It's available on my site. Yeah, marktolan.com.
And marktolan.com. And by the way, if people want to, you know, you mentioned corporate events, so I'm curious that, listen, in this city, a lot of people like to have special parties, special things. Are you available just to do house parties and things?
Of course. I travel half the week for events. I'm here every Wednesday for the show. And then the rest of the week, I do private parties and house parties. And it's a great mix. If anyone has an event, it's very customizable to their event, you know, because I can do the roving, I can also do the big show. So I've done the show you saw on Wednesday. I did it recently for 7 people in a living room down in Streeterville, but I've also done it for 6,000 at college campuses, you know. So that is the cool thing about mentalism, since it's about thoughts. It doesn't matter how big the group is. So yeah, I cover the gamut there, and that's how I spend most of my evenings in Chicago, was going out and doing private parties.
Well, in that case, marktolan.com is a great way to find you for that. Greenhousetheater.org, if you want to first check him out, over at the Greenhouse Theater, where you can see his show on Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock. It is just once a week, but it's an open run right now. So if you can't get there this Wednesday, you know, the following Wednesday, just go ahead and book tickets and bring friends, because it's just great fun. There is a bar downstairs in the theater, so you can all get drinks and bring those upstairs as well. You're just so approachable, so fun. One day I hope to take you out for a drink, get you drunk, and actually find out how you do what you do, so I don't have to waste 15 years of my life. But I appreciate what you do, and you're just so much fun to talk to, be with. It's just a great show, and Mark, I want to thank you. It's great stuff that I hope everybody takes time to catch.
Thank you, Paul. I appreciate it.
We're going to go out with a little Magic to Do, because it's a great song from Pippin, and you've admitted, what you're doing is kind of magical. So we're going to go out with that. Once again, reminder, mind reader Mark Toland at the Greenhouse Theater, greenhousetheater.org. Check him out at marktoland.com. He will blow you away. I can't figure out what he's doing, and I'm not that stupid. So it is great fun. Check it out Wednesday nights at 8. Mark, thank you for your time. I appreciate you. I'm going to come see your show again, I think, but you probably knew that because you can read my mind.
I had a feeling. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, my friend. Well, if you want to know more about what we've talked about here, follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Paul Lisnek. That's PaulLisnek. And I'd love to hear your comments or topic suggestions for future podcasts. You can also go to my website, paullisnek.tv. And hey, don't forget to hit subscribe on WGN Plus and iTunes. And tune in each week to hear more Insider Scoop coming to you from behind the curtain.